When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to FinancialSurvivalNetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and today is 1-22-20, just back from the Vancouver Resource Investor Conference. I haven't seen that place that excited, that jumping, that happy since 2011. If you wanted to define the place, the mood there, with the exception of 2016, for the past 9 years, it's been somewhere between awake and a morgue. And there are a lot of bodies to be buried there, John. You know, it's just amazing what a little price action can do to the psychology of a market. And I saw it firsthand in VREC, as it's known. And not to mention, the place was cold, rainy, nasty. Then I got back to Florida. It wasn't rainy, but it was cold. It was at 39 degrees this morning. I had to literally put the heat on in my car and in my house. I haven't put the heat on in over 3 years here, so it was really a first. But these markets are heating up. The impeachment is heating up. And John Rubino is always hot. And happy Wednesday, John. We're not doing our normal Monday morning gig, but here we are.
Hey, Kerry. Yeah. Let's start with the Vancouver conference, because this is a kind of an early warning sign of a bull market in an industry when lots of deals are getting done and everybody's excited. And so the tone of these conferences gives you an idea of the trend in the market. And, you know, it's understandable. Both the depression of a few years ago in these conferences and the excitement now, because when you're trying to raise money for something that you think is a good thing and nobody will lend you money, that's one of the most depressing things in the world. And that was the state of the precious metals market for the past 5 or so years. And conversely, when you're raising money for something you really believe in and lots of people want to lend you money or buy equity or whatever, basically they want to give you capital, that's one of the most exciting things in the world. And a lot of mining companies, especially the juniors now, are in that place where they've reported pretty good results and people are finally coming around and noticing them and wanting joint ventures or equity stakes or syndicated loans or whatever. So these guys are a lot happier than they were, and they're a lot more optimistic than they were. And that money is going to be put to, by and large, good uses in the industry right now, because they're suitably chastened from the near depression of the past few years in the junior mining sector. So a lot of things that in a perfect world would have gotten done 3 or 4 years ago are now going to get done. And so you're going to see a lot of, you know, good drill results from these little companies, which will turbocharge their share prices, et cetera, et cetera. You know, it's a virtuous cycle when you can put money to work productively, because then you get good results, which leads to more financing and higher, you know, it just goes on and on like that. And that's what the junior mining sector in particular in precious metals is looking at now. It should be a good few years based on the fact that these guys can do their thing now and their thing will generate positive results. So, you know, you hear somebody like Rick Rule talking about this, where he was, you know, he was kind of pessimistic for a really long time there when, oh, capitulation hadn't happened yet and the deals aren't being done on favorable terms, and et cetera, et cetera. And now he's the opposite. He's like, okay, we're in year one or two of a, what should be a long, long precious metals bull market. And, which should take the valuations of juniors a lot higher, along with the values of the underlying metals. So hopefully that's true, because we're due for it in the gold sector.
Yeah.
And this does have the feel of the beginnings of a nice trend.
Agreed. But there are still skeptics out there, and you should always be skeptical, regardless what John and I tell you. You know, the fact of the matter is that who the heck knows? It's all about the markets. It's all about unseen forces. It's really hard for even John and I to comprehend sometimes, whether it's short sellers, whatever it might be, John. So a lot of people believe that it's still due for another correction. Honestly, John, it would not surprise me to see a correction. But on the other hand, gold has been steadily above 1550, goes below for a little bit, and then it comes back up. I'm questioning how much of a correction. We still watched a presentation, which I've seen many times, and I've talked with him about it, Mickey Fulp, the mercenary geologist, and the way that normalizing precious metals markets, everything else, basically from December 15th through the end of January, right to PDAC, which is the biggest metal show in the world, the Prospect Developers Association of Canada. I mean, they're all out there. Precious metals goes up. So we still have probably another month to go. And at that point, you know, it hasn't been doing much. We broke 1600 on gold that day when we thought World War III was on its way, but for some reason it never happened. And now we're basically kind of in this little holding pattern, but gold continues to creep up a bit.
Well, seasonality hasn't really worked for the past year, because usually the weakest time of the year is May, June, July, you know, the summer doldrums, and gold and silver rocked in the summer. So it's and then they had a good December. So it's possible that that we got a lot of the seasonal stuff out of the way earlier than usual this year, and that explains the kind of flat market in January. But you know, you never know for sure about any of these indicators. They are just indicators. In other words, they tell you what the odds are. And same thing with the Commitment of Traders report. You know, that's something that tells you about forces that are building up out there, which traditionally have had an effect most of the time. But see, the most of the time thing is the important caveat there, because it doesn't happen that way every time. It just happens that way most of the time. So this may be a time when seasonality doesn't really work, even though seasonality is a valid thing, and it may kick back in next year. Who knows? But fundamentals eventually win out in every market at all times. Just the timing of the fundamentals winning out is the question. And the fundamentals for precious metals are phenomenal. I mean, every government in the world is borrowing insane amounts of money, and every central bank is easing and flooding the global financial system with new cash. That's why the stock market boomed in 2019, because the U.S. ran massive deficits. The Fed started cutting interest rates. All the other central banks were creating a lot of new currency. So it buoyed financial asset prices again, you know, even after the longest bull market in history. And, you know, those conditions are still in place in 2020, which is great for precious metals, because that's all the stuff that I just described can be summed up as currency debasement. In other words, they're all making their currencies worth less and less, which is great for real money like precious metals. So who knows what's going to happen in the next month or 6 months. But in the longer term, the junior miners that you talked to in Vancouver this last weekend have good reason to be optimistic, because the thing that they're finding and selling has the financial wind at its back. In other words, precious metals prices ought to go up based on the fundamentals out there, which is monetary policy and fiscal policy. So, you know, if you're a junior miner or any kind of a producing miner, your inventory basically is going to get more valuable before you sell it, which means your company is going to get more more valuable. So I think that's the important takeaway from all this, that the big factors out there, you know, that eventually swamp seasonality and the structure of the futures market and everything are screamingly positive. And mining stocks ought to do really well as a result of that.
Yep. I'm inclined to agree with you. And, you know, some of the stocks have had great movement. We've seen it in the majors, not so much in the juniors, because we saw the venture exchange, the Toronto Venture Exchange, really get hammered the end of last year. It was really doing badly. And then it picked up, you know, had a nice gain. And we'll see if it's going to follow through or not. But it seems like funding capital is much more readily available to the sector than it has been. And the other thing is, it's from all over the world, John. Not as much in the U.S., but all over the world, they're pumping money into these shares.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's those shares time. You know, they had a long, long stretch of nobody wanting to have anything to do with them. And now the rotation process is coming back their way. And there have been a few winners in the past couple of years, like Great Bear Resources, you meet Chris Taylor there? I met him before,
but not this time.
Okay, because he's kind of a rock star in the junior mining space, and I hope it doesn't go to his head. You know, he needs to just keep generating good numbers and maybe let the numbers speak for themselves. But Osisko Mining has done really well, and Silver Crest is a huge winner. So there have been some small miner success stories in the past few years, and I think that's part of what's driving the shift in sentiment in that sector, that a few of these little companies are succeeding big time. So people are seeing these 1,000% gains and chart that is just straight up almost. And they're looking for the next one. You know, they're looking at Great Bear or Silvercrest or somebody like that and thinking, okay, well, I missed that one, but let me find the next one now. You know, yeah. And when you have a significant amount of money with that kind of an attitude, that lifts everybody in the sector, because new money coming in is less discriminating.
Speaking of which, John, we have a question from one of the FSN community members. Did you see the price of Tesla today?
Yeah.
It's getting $600 a share, John.
We don't want to spend too much time on Tesla because we spend so much time on it.
Well, that was the complaint before,
but
the complaint. And I want to read it to you. Because like I say, this is Sean. He's a longtime listener. He says, I love your podcast, but sounds like you are a Tesla fanboy, just like you were in. You are a Trump fan. TSLA is chosen by the oligarchs to succeed, no different than Amazon. As a businessman yourself, you should know that you can't consistently run a company without a profit for years and years unless you have a backer. And unfortunately, that backer is either the U.S. government or something higher. There is no reason their stock and market cap should be what it is. They have a larger market cap than Ford and GM combined. Now, first of all, Ford and GM are like not doing real good. Like, they both stopped making cars because they can't make any money with cars, only trucks. I'm not a fanboy. I am a fan of the technology behind it and the way that the vehicle operates and its integration of technology in the driving experience. And I don't care about the energy aspect of it. It's not that much more efficient when you take into account all the other aspects. It's fast as hell. I'm a car guy. It's faster. For $60,000, you get a car that's almost of supercar strength and speed. And that's what I like about the car. And we're going electric, whether you like it or not. And they happen to have the lead in electric vehicles. Whether they'll maintain it or not, or how long they can, is another story. As far as the stock goes, like Benjamin Graham said, John, there are great companies, but their stocks get to a point where even though it's a great company with great prospects, the stock is so high that it becomes a speculative play. And clearly Tesla is pure speculation.
Well, Tesla and Netflix actually have almost the identical stories and are almost identically interesting short candidates. You know, both of them pioneered an industry and have this huge first mover advantage in what is a very hot industry in each case. And that has allowed them to generate massive sales increases. Okay, not profits necessarily, but sales increases. And their growth has been financed with junk bonds. So in a way, they're kind of creatures of the long expansion and bull market that we've had. If we had a recession with a bear market 3 years ago, they both might be bankrupt now. But they have had access to capital because easy money all around the world has allowed them to continue to borrow billions and billions and billions of dollars, which allowed them in turn to generate massive sales increases. Now, both of them have high-powered competition coming in. And that's where the story changes, I think. When you've got a bunch of other competitors who are more or less as good as you, which will be the case for sure with Netflix and probably with Tesla in a couple of years, then it gets harder and harder to sustain these massive valuations. So I think that's the dynamic going forward. Oh, and we'll have a recession in which companies that finance themselves with junk bonds suffer disproportionately. So I think there's a decent chance that these guys come back to earth. You know, they might remain in business and they might be viable, vibrant, big companies forever, but they probably won't be able to support their stock valuations when a recession and new competition hit at the same time. And I think that's the story of the next few years. So, you know, I love the concept of electric cars, and I love the concept of video streaming. They're both technologies whose time have come, whose time has come. But the bleeding edge stocks in industries like that don't always end up being the big winners. And I think that's probably the case with Tesla and Netflix.
Hey, and what I want to emphasize is also one thing. Well, we've been in an auto recession for a while. The past 2 years, sales have been down, but sales on Tesla are increasing at that magical growth rate. So as long as there's easy money and people can buy these things for no money down, it's actually as cheap to own a Tesla as it is to own a Camry when you get down to it, as long as you don't have to take into account the price of tires on the thing. The tires on those Tesla tires, if you have one, you have to go get them through Tire Rack, because they're like $500 a piece, those tires. They're big tires. It's a big, heavy car. And, you know, you got to take that into account. But everything else, maintenance is cheaper, because it's less moving parts and you don't have the gasoline cost. You know, you're even going to superchargers, your cost generally is like a third to a half of what the cost of gasoline would be in a similar vehicle. You know, there's a lot of these factors here that that you need to take into account. But in any event, the sales are going to be at somewhere around 600,000 this year. They've got the Gigafactory in China pumping out cars. They think they will be able to produce 250,000 cars. And the one thing that you don't have with Tesla as a rule, or not to the extent as with the major car companies, is channel stuffing. Every vehicle that Tesla counts as a sale is one that actually somebody took delivery of. There's no dealer lot soaking up all the cars that they can't really get rid of. But onward. Yeah. I just wanted to address that question for Sean, because, you know, legitimate question.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Luminex Resources. ticker symbol LR on the Toronto Venture and LUMIF on the OTC, is a member of Lumina Group, the Ross Beauty company that has returned nearly 10 to 1 to investors since its founding in 2004. It's currently advancing a portfolio of large-scale exploration properties in Ecuador with 3 key assets and 2 world-class partners, Anglo American and BHP. With the decline in other sectors of its economy, Ecuador is aggressively nurturing its growing mining sector, and Luminex is a prime beneficiary of the new policy. If passed as prologue, investors should see outsized returns on the company's gold and copper holdings. For more info, go to luminexresources.com and make sure you sign up to get the company's latest notifications. That's luminexresources.com.
The Financial Survival Network.
It's all about what's next.
Yeah, it is a legitimate question, and it'll be fun to see how this plays out. But I personally am getting ready to short Tesla, so I'll let you know how it goes.
Hey, that's okay with me.
I'll just make that public, and we can talk about it, whether it works or not.
But that doesn't mean the stock could easily go down. Their sales could keep going up, and it could seemingly defy gravity. That is a fact. So. Yeah. But yeah, the stock is totally outrageous. But then again, Amazon, you know, has been an outrageously priced stock for a lot of years, John, and that doesn't seem to have mattered any, has it?
No. You know, there are companies that win sometimes and just keep winning. And Apple is one where they had massive competition coming in the cell phone market. And they are now the most valuable company in the world. And Amazon, everybody has an online store, and yet Amazon has continued to grow. So it's possible to dominate an industry. However, it's harder with physical stuff. It's one thing with software and cloud computing and stuff like that, but it's a lot harder with something that, like a car, where, you know, you got to put a lot of physical things together, and that necessarily limits your margins. So anyhow, you know, there is other stuff going on though. Isn't it funny that the president is being impeached as we speak, and that's not even the second or third thing on our minds when we're talking. You know, this is just such an afterthought that it kind of illustrates how lost the Democrats are now. Not, you know, I don't want to, you know, praise the Republicans by comparison, because I'm not saying the Republicans have their act together at all, but the Democrats are just embarrassing themselves, and they have been for such a long time. You know, remember Russiagate? Nobody talks about that.
No, I don't
anymore.
Remember.
That was a 2-year thing.
I forgot all about it, John.
Yeah. And luckily, impeachment is going to be a lot shorter term thing. It's going to be over in a few days, and it will disappear without a trace, because it's such a non-story, and it's so blatantly political. And, you know, you hate seeing one of the major parties in a country do something like this, because, you know, they might be in charge in another year. It's conceivable that the Democrats take over next year. And you know, the idea that these guys are going to be running the country, it's just a terrifying thought.
Yeah.
But yeah, the impeachment thing anyhow is just going to be over, and then we'll move on to other stuff. But, you know, it's just funny because that's such a big deal. I mean, there have only been, what, 2 presidents impeached prior to Trump.
And so, Nixon would have been, but he resigned.
Yeah. And, but yeah, Nixon would have been, but that was the legitimate one. You know, Clinton's was almost as embarrassing as this. And, Andrew Johnson way back in the day, I don't even know what that was about, but, Nixon would have actually involved crimes. You know, his would have been a legitimate trial, but these other ones are just political witch hunts, you know, where they, you know, Congress is in control of, you know, is under the control of one party. The president is from a different party, and they just use that power to pick on the president. And it didn't work for the Republicans with Clinton. Clinton got more popular after he was impeached. And I suspect that it's not working now with Trump. It really energizes his base. So the people who already lean in the direction of Trump are now thinking, well, maybe I need to go door to door. Maybe I need to start, you know, trucking, you know, driving my family to the voting booth, because this is just outrageous. So when you energize one side's base, you give them a huge advantage. And if, say, Joe Biden is the Democrat candidate, his base will not be energized.
Well, he's so not energized.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's a nice man, and he offers stability going forward and incremental change, which those are good things. But it it isn't the kind of thing that brings out. He brings people to rallies where there are 20,000 people cheering the whole time, or who will go door to door to get the vote out. You know, that's, it's not exciting enough. And that's the downside. And the, you know, sometimes the fatal flaw of incrementalism is it doesn't get anybody really excited. It may be the best political strategy, but it, it doesn't energize the base and get your real, really core supporters out there working hard for you, which Bernie Sanders would do. You know, he would have a totally energized base, but it's not clear what happens to the suburban soccer mom, but, you know, with somebody like Bernie Sanders. So the Democrats have a lot of challenges ahead of them.
Oh, they're like off the wall nuts.
Yeah.
You know, like, look, I think the Republicans equally as corrupt. I think given their druthers, they'd love to get rid of Trump, but they know that if they vote for impeaching Trump, for removing him from office, I should say, to convict him effectively, that will be the end of their political careers.
Well, plus, who would the Republicans replace Trump with? I mean, there isn't a single major Republican out there who is in any way interesting. There's a lot of really kind of either faceless or abhorrent people running the Republican Party right now. And neither one of the that category of politician is a good replacement for Trump. So I think the Republicans are going to ride this horse.
Yeah, they don't have a choice. You're so right. They really have no choice in the matter. They're screwed.
But it's amazing how Trump has flipped the script in so many different areas of political life now. You know, the Republicans used to be kind of the, I don't want to say warmongers, but they were more warlike, more willing to get into a fight than the Democrats were. And now Trump is, with the exception of this Iran thing, which kind of came and went, Trump is keeping us out of trouble, and the Democrats are trying to get us into fights with everybody in the world out there. And
so true.
Yeah. You know, it's really funny. And now you've got the Republicans running $1 trillion deficits when they used to be the party of small government. You know, Ronald Reagan must be spinning in his grave at the monetary and fiscal policies that are now being run by his party.
His successors.
So it's not, it's like nobody really stands for anything anymore necessarily. And that's going to be hard to sort out over time. Cause at some point the Republican, and the Republicans were big free traders. Yes. And now we're renegotiating all these deals, and we're slapping tariffs on everything. And so this is a really different world, and it's going to fall to the both major parties to redefine themselves over the next decade, where they, you know, they have to stand for stuff and they have to be very clear about it, but it isn't clear what they're going to stand for when the dust clears. Because will the Democrats be a socialist party, and will the Republicans be like a center right big spending kind of party? And who knows, you know, that it really isn't clear. And that makes all the elections that are going to happen in this decade really hard to call.
Yes.
Because you have no idea what either party is going to stand for in any given election. But again, see, that's what happens when you borrow too much money. Got to take this back to finance, because it all comes back to debt in the end. When you borrow way too much money, your life gets chaotic, whether you're a person or a country. And we are so heavily indebted now that pretty much everything that happens at the national level is chaotic for the U.S. We just don't know what we're doing anymore. So we're flying by the seat of our pants. We're choosing policies situationally to get us out of the immediate trouble. In other words, well, if the economy is slowing down, then we'll create a whole bunch of new currency and we'll run huge deficits and we'll cut interest rates again. Even if that runs counter to the core philosophy of the party doing it, and even if it causes trouble in the future, you know, we will do it to get out of the trouble today, and then we'll worry about the future tomorrow. And everybody's doing that now.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no central philosophy that guides the U.S. economy or U.S. foreign policy or, you know, pretty much anything else in U.S. public life. And that's the kind of thing that, first of all, is it opens the door for demagogues, you know, people who come in and say, OK, you know, we'll suspend that stupid constitution for a while and I'll just do what I have to do to fix everything. Because and people say, well, OK, go ahead, because this constitution is already de facto suspended in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
And that's a really dangerous path to go down. But it can be traced back in its origin to the fact that we aren't on the gold standard anymore. We don't have a currency that's linked to anything, and everybody's just borrowing and spending, and that's causing chaos. So the decade to come will be this vicious cycle of increasing debt leading to financial stress, leading to political stress, which forces us to raise even more money, you know, and so on until the whole system blows up. And the political side of this is just, it's the theatrical side of it now. It's the fun thing to watch, but we shouldn't lose sight of the fact that it's heading in a really dangerous direction.
And we'll leave it at that. So any questions or comments, write us kl@carrylutz.com, Twitter feed @CarrieLutz, Facebook page, Financial Survival Network. John's site is dollarcollapse.com. Make sure you sign up for his newsletter and ours at financialsurvivalnetwork.com. John, we'll pick up where we left off next week. Be well.
Okay, you too, Carrie.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports.
The Financial Survival Network.
It's all about what's next.